Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Look, I'd say generally speaking, the free agent market is not how you want to build a roster, right? Clearly, players that get to free agency have accrued 6 years of service, might be older, likely to be the winning bid. You're paying a few more million per year, a year or two more than you want to get the player. That's most time what's going to happen if you're trying to build a club that way. I think it's been shown that that's not the way to go about it.
Yeah, you know, unless you know that no other team's going to sign him, and then you can offer him whatever you want. But that's neither here nor there. That's the voice of Alex Anthopoulos after the season talking about free agency and how free agency may not be the best way to build a baseball team. We agree on that.
Yeah.
The Braves have gone about it the right way. You draft guys, you sign guys in the international market, and you build that way. It's cheaper. It's easier to sustain long-term. And it just is the way that is tried and true in Major League Baseball, right?
Yeah. That's what they've done. But the thing, again, it's going to be some hard times while you're doing it, though.
You can. Yeah, that's right. And the Braves, it seems like the Braves did that. Like they weathered those hard storms, and now you've come out the other side, back-to-back playoff appearances. But you can also bolster by going out in free agency, and that's what Alex Anthopoulos did last year with Josh Donaldson. And the report is that the Braves may do the same thing this offseason with a big-name veteran pitcher, a former World Series MVP. Madison Bumgarner is the name that's being thrown around.
Mad Bum in
Connecticut. I'm not comfortable with that nickname. Okay. It's just not a good one. You know what I mean? Like, some nicknames are great and they roll off the tongue. That one, Mad Bum, just, I don't know. I mean, I know it's his nickname. I'm not blaming you for coming up with it because I know you didn't.
Right.
Do you like that nickname?
Oh, it don't really affect me either way, Andy.
You don't think about it really?
No.
I just don't like it. It's okay. Just kind of like,
Well, then I won't say it anymore.
No, you can say it all you want. I was just letting you know how I felt.
I don't want to bother you.
No, it's not. It didn't bother me. It's just one of those nicknames where I'm like, huh, does he like it? Like when they're hanging out, like on the batting cage before the game, and like a teammate, Tim Lincecum, comes walking up and he's like, hey, Mad Bum.
I'm sure he doesn't like it.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling me that. Call me Madison.
I'm sure he doesn't like it.
Yeah, or Bumgarner, or just Bum. I don't know. Anyway.
Hey, Bum.
Bum's a bad nickname, too.
Yeah.
The rumor is that they're interested and they're making him a priority. I like that. I like Madison Bumgarner being a priority. A couple things to keep in mind, Randy. Madison Bumgarner's not as old as people think. He's only 30 years old.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like he's some grandpa. I realize that he's taken a step back the last year or two, but look, I mean, you need a veteran. I would like a veteran starting pitcher in this rotation.
What is it going to cost you to get Mad Bum?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But if, I mean, you can find out what all the other general managers are willing to pay, which is what Alex Anthopoulos kind of told us yesterday that he's doing, right? I mean, isn't that kind of what he said?
All right. I mean, that's what he said, but I mean, is Mad Bum the guy? Why can't you go for the big fish? Why not?
For Gerrit Cole?
Yeah, why not?
You could.
Why won't you?
Because it's going to cost $270 million.
You got it.
Yeah, you do. You got it. Look, I mean, I would do it, too.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm all for that. If you could add Gerrit Cole to the starting rotation.
Yeah, must be with Strasburg or somebody.
Great, get them both.
Yeah, why not?
Get them both.
Why can't I just throw it out there?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it ain't going to happen.
You can throw it out there if you want.
It ain't going to happen.
Doesn't seem likely.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love it if they would do that, but I doubt that they're going to.
They got it.
They do have. Right, but
them condos selling over there at the over there at the Battery.
It's true.
They selling. You got it.
I got my haircut over there last week.
Yeah, got a free haircut.
I did. I got a free haircut. So actually, I didn't contribute to the economy over there on the Battery. So if they don't sign Gerrit Cole, maybe it's partially my fault.
Yeah.
Going over there getting free haircuts instead of spending money. But one of the ladies, one of the barbers, said like all the rent for places in the Battery and all the new businesses that want to come in,
uh-huh,
crazy high.
Oh yeah, I bet.
So they are making money.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean. Yeah, they got it. Go and get you one. Go and get you one.
All right, let's get to the NFL No Huddle.
We're going No Huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go!
You know, it's trying to win one football game. That's my approach this week is you know, trying to stay present in what we're doing right now. Trying to, you know, make sure that we put in, you know, a good week's work of work. And win this one football game, and then try and you know knock those wins out one in a row as we go.
Kind of sounds like somebody I know. Matt Ryan there talking.
What does that sound like?
Kind of sound like you.
That's how, because that's how most players sound. I mean, yeah, again, you can't win. You can't think about nothing outside of this week because you got to get a win, man. It's been so long since they had a happy locker room after a game, man. And I'm saying there's nothing better than a happy locker room after a football game, after you win a game, no matter what your record is, because they're hard to come by. They're really hard to come by. They've had some time to rest their minds, rest their bodies. Matt should be back, should be ready to roll. And you got to go down there. I mean, Sean Payton has said that Alvin Kamara will play. He thinks he will play on Sunday against the Falcons. But, I mean, if not now, when? You know, I know the Saints, they got a stick down there, man. It's serious down there in the bayou. But, I mean, if not now, when? I mean, because I've seen it. I've been on teams that have been like the Falcons that have went to a place like New Orleans and the team is playing well and beaten them in their home before. So it's possible. But they almost 2-touchdown dogs.
Yeah, it's actually growing. The spread.
That's like.
It started at 13. It's 13 and a half now.
I mean, if not now, when? That's all I'm going to say. If you want to keep up with the whole rivalry thing that everybody's going with, that's fine. If that's what's going to get you ready to roll, then let's rival on. It don't matter.
I mean, honestly, I'm with you. Anything that could possibly help give you a little bit more juice for this game, I mean, use it. But I don't know how much more you could need other than just let's stop embarrassing ourselves, right? Like, yeah. You're going out there and getting blown off the field every single week. That would seem inspiring to me. I'm a professional. I don't want to go out there and get completely demoralized by these teams that I'm playing against. Right. You're down 24-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
You lose 37-10. Like, you're getting beaten down by quarterbacks that are average to below average. And that's all incredibly frustrating, but it's also true stuff that we've seen them do, which is why I'm with you. If now, when, whatever, like win the game this weekend, you can only worry about one. Okay, yeah, but why would it happen? That's my question. Is I would love for it to. It'd be great.
Because they play like we thought they could play at the beginning of the season. That's why. And hopefully the Saints have a bad night.
Right.
Because they're not going to.
That's kind of what you're hoping.
They're not going to be like, oh, the Falcons, overlook them. They're not going to overlook the Falcons.
No, of course
because
not.
Of the rivalry thing or whatever. And you got a coach over there that wants to put it to you. That's why.
Well, they're also a team that's completely dialed into this season. Like, the New Orleans Saints' possibilities this year are, I mean, a championship. They could win a championship this season.
Yeah.
When you're that good and you're coming off of a bye week and when, I mean, look, I don't know. When you're a professional, you're probably supposed to just be able to get up for every game, but we also realize that there's human nature.
Right.
It's probably a lot easier to come back from a bye week, get up for a game like this, when you know that the possibility of your season is a championship, realistically, because you're 7-1, versus a team who's 1-7, and you're basically playing for pride, and you're playing for math, and you're playing for whatever. Like, the New Orleans Saints are coming into this game knowing full well that anything that they can do this season is possible.
Yeah.
That's a helpful thing for your confidence, I would imagine.
It definitely is, man, but again, just get one win, like Matt Ryan said. And it was so
simple. They have one win.
It was, I mean, get a win.
Get two wins.
Get a win. Get a win this weekend.
Yeah.
That was Matt. And it was so simple how he said it to Timmy.
Well, it is simple. I mean, it's simple to say. Unfortunately, it's not easy to do.
Oh, but, I mean, you got to say it before you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, man, we just trying to get a win. Then you go get it. You can't go get the win and say, oh, we got the win. You got to say it in your mind. Hey, we just got to get a win. Made no sense to you, did it?
No, it did. Yeah. I mean, it did.
Yeah.
I'm still unconfident. Alvin Kamara, healthy, like you said. Drew Brees, like, it doesn't matter if I'm confident or not. I just am going based on what I've seen. Drew Brees is going to continue to wear a splint on his right thumb as well as he's working. I mean, he's back from the injury, but I guess that makes him feel more comfortable having the thing on there because he broke his thumb. So he's going to play in a football game. I know he played in the game when he came back before the bye with the splint on his thumb as well. So that's going to continue to happen. But those guys are going to be on the field.
Yeah, they're ready to roll. They're ready to roll. And the one thing about it is we talk about next man up. They were definitely next man of a quarterback, but everybody played so well around them.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it is, like, you lose the biggest piece of your football team, but yet everybody picks up that slack.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the hallmark of a team that can win is if one guy goes down, even if it's your most important guy, you saw that defense come together. I mean, they have a pass rush. That helps. Helps to win football games when you can get to the quarterback.
And you can protect the passer
helps
also.
Helps to win football games when you can protect the quarterback. Yes. It helps to win football games when you can create turnovers. Like, I mean, we go back to that week when Cam Newton and Drew Brees got hurt and the Falcons had just come off a victory.
Yep.
And we thought to ourselves, great.
Oh, yeah, here we come.
Yeah, the division's going to crumble around us and the Falcons are going to be in great shape. Well, no, because, yes, Matt Ryan was healthy, but no one else was playing football for the Falcons
exactly.
at that point. They couldn't protect him. They couldn't get to the – and it's the same thing. I don't know. Hopefully it happens this weekend. I know it's a rivalry. I know it's hate week. I know all that stuff. But it would be a, I don't know, a fitting way for the last little shred of hope for this season to be stamped out, to go down there to New Orleans and have them do it to you.
Just stomped out.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot telling me that it's not going to happen.
Be competitive.
Yeah, be just – do something. Don't be down 24-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
That'd be a good start.
And have a battle back and lose 27-20 or something.
So Baker Mayfield, remember earlier in the week we talked about Baker's mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he had like the handlebar mustache at the game, but then after the game he shaved part of it off. He explained why.
The quarterbacks had a Movember mustache, and the original thought for me to do the handlebars, I was undefeated before Sunday with the handlebar mustache, so I shaved it off because I didn't deserve it.
All right.
At least he's participating in Movember.
Yeah, good for him.
As am I, by the way. If you'd like to donate to our cause, you can go over to 929thegame.com/Movember. We're raising money for prostate cancer awareness and men's health.
That's right, man.
So if you want to donate, you can.
But the thing with Baker is, I mean, he's getting so much attention for nothing. All right? You're not playing good. Your head coach, I read an article today. They were talking about, you know, the OC that's there, technically, who's listed as the OC. They were asking about calling plays. Like, when I got here, I was under the impression that he was calling the play. So, I mean, Freddie Kitchens, this job is just too big for him. He was never ready to be an NFL head coach. But the thing about it is that everybody talked about the talent. What do you mean you just keep saying, it's Cleveland. Their offensive line has been the key to them not playing well. I mean, Baker has not lost his skill set. It's just that he's not being protected, and because he's so out there and so brash and everything, that's why he's getting the backlash he is.
That's why he's getting the attention. Yeah, you had mentioned he's getting attention, he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
On the football field, he's not doing anything. Publicly, he is, and that's why people are paying attention to it. He's in all the commercials. He's flapping his gums after every single game. He's got all this stuff to say on social media. He's asking for it.
Yeah.
And he's asked for it, which, you know, you can't like not want it when it's coming like this, when you're 2-6, when you were loving it and relishing it last year when you guys were actually winning football games.
Yep.
That's the thing.
Front runner.
Exactly. That's exactly what he is, and it's what he's been. The NFL No Huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. So we've heard this clip that we're about to play from Mitchell Trubisky on the radio station a couple times today. Johnny Hugh played it, had some fun with it. Paul Crane played it in his sports flash. Paul Crane, woo, played it in his sports flash.
Woo!
Had a little fun with it as well.
Paul Hale.
You've got a different take on it, though. Let's hear Mitchell Trubisky.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not. But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of as people or what we're going through or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. And So, tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get back to what we know we're capable of doing.
Okay.
Because that sounds like a soft quarterback to me.
He said us and we in every damn sentence. But now everybody wants to put it on him. He don't want to hear the criticism of it. You're a professional athlete. You're going to get criticized. You should know that. I hope you know that, or else you're in the wrong profession. That ain't nothing soft about it. He's not playing well. All right, but he said, but that's a typical thing when you're in a player lounge and these shows that we got on in here in the Kia studio on, you don't want to hear it no more, man. Just turn that off. All right, and it happens. It ain't nothing to say Mitchell's soft or whatever. He got soft to me when he said, I want to go by Mitchell only. I'm going to call you Mitch sometimes. It might happen. All right, get over it.
So you already knew he was soft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, his suit game be on, though. He be sharp. But again,
he's got that first-round draft
he
pick
said,
money.
He said we and us the whole time. Everybody wanted to say,
himself. Here's the thing, though. Like, there's nothing wrong with turning the TVs off in the player lounge because you don't want to hear it.
Uh-huh.
Of course not. Like, why would you? I wouldn't want to hear
it. Who would?
Of course not. Like, no one wants to hear that. But it's kind of like that Alex Anthopoulos thing that we were talking about earlier. Yes, the action is not incorrect. Talking about it is what's incorrect.
And that's why everybody's all over him, even though – he clearly said we and us.
Sure.
Clearly said it. But everybody wants to put it on him. He didn't say me.
Right.
He said us and we.
But he's the one that talked about it.
But
and
I
he's
know
the
that,
one who's the quarterback who's playing
but
badly.
But he still said us and we.
I know that.
And he's not the one playing bad. They can't stop the running in Chicago, which is, really? you know, they lose Hicks and they can't even stop the run no more.
It's just one of those things where you know what the perception is going to be.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Like, you have to have a little bit more self-awareness.
Don't put yourself out there.
Right, exactly. Because anybody who hears that clip, by and large, is going to hear it and hear them and hear Mitchell Trubisky saying, I can't be criticized. I don't want to be criticized.
Everybody's saying that.
I can't hear it. Yeah. I don't like the outside noise. I'm not interested in all of this. Because that's what you're going to hear. Like, if they were 7-1 or something like that, and he was like, yeah, we're turning the TVs off. We're just worrying about what's in here. Mm-hmm. We talk about this with the Falcons all the time. Everything you do is seen through the prism of your record.
Correct.
Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. If this Raheem Morris move works, people are going to see it as a negative because the Falcons are 1-7.
I agree with you.
Why didn't you do it earlier?
Also, it just came out that the NFL and AB are supposed to meet next week to start talking about what happened with this whole case or whatever. So, hopefully, you know, they get to the bottom of that because it's a shame that he's not playing football, man.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
There's some teams that could probably use him. We'll come back and get to the college football corner, get back into some Alabama-LSU conversation. Of course, Georgia against Missouri this weekend as well, including what Kirby Smart's talking about here.
I thought early in the year was when it was at its, I guess you could say, weakest.
What? What was at its weakest at the beginning of the year? And what has gotten better? We'll find out from Kirby Smart coming up next in the college football corner. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's College Football Corner. News and notes from around the world of college football with former 92.9 The Game bowling champion Andy Bunker.
Big freaking deal.
And the best tight end in UGA history, Randy McMichael.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday.
I like that. The intro is pretty good. Hey, first of all, I got to give a shout out to I got to give a shout out to our man, Willie P, man. Willie P just dropped some skins off for me. That Eric brought some homemade skins. Man, them things banging.
That who made?
Willie P. You remember Willie P?
Of course I remember Willie P.
Oh, yeah.
But who made them?
He did.
Oh, he made them?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Willie P done made me some skins, man. Them things so good.
Pork rinds?
Yeah, Andy.
Well, it's possible that not everybody knew what you were talking about.
That's true. I'm sorry.
Some people probably did. I'm just trying to help everybody out.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely correct. But, yeah, appreciate that, Willie P. And if you got some more of that moonshine, holler at your boy.
Wait, what?
You remember Willie P brought us the thing? The liquor.
I think we're having a conversation about a different person.
No, we're not.
We're not?
No.
Isn't there a person named Willie P that we work with?
No, not Willie P that we work with.
Okay, that's what I don't. How many Willie P's am I supposed to
all
know?
All three of y'all. Y'all thought Willie P sent that Willie P sent me some skins.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And that's why I was so confused by what was happening here. I was like, Will Pelagic, the coworker of ours,
sent me some skins.
That's what was so confusing to me. I was like, Willie P, because that's where my mind went first. That's the first Willie P that comes to my mind. I don't know, man. I don't have that many Willie P's in my life. I'm sorry.
All right.
Now that I know who you're talking about, yeah. I remember the moonshine that we got,
yeah.
Which almost made my face fall off because it was so good. And I would like to have some more of that as well.
All right.
But yeah. It's not unreasonable that I got confused about which Willie P you might be talking about.
Okay. I like Willie P that works with us. I like him.
I don't know how to say his last name.
Pelagic. I like him a lot. Does he look like the type of dude that sent some homemade skins over here?
No.
Okay,
That's what was so mind-blowing to me, that had happened. I wasn't the only one who was thinking that, right? It was 3 for 3? Okay. Everyone was confused, so I'm not crazy. Now, it would be crazy if Will Pelagic made you pork rinds and sent them to the studio. That would be surprising. It would also be surprising if he made you moonshine and I didn't get any. That would be surprising, too. But now we're on the same page. Bottom line is, I'm glad that your pork rinds were good.
Right.
I'm happy about that.
Thank you.
All right, man. Look, I don't know. We're gonna get to the AMA at the end of the show, as always, at 1:40. But here's the deal. You can send your AMA question in whenever you want. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter at TBM929. We're trying to get a bigger pool to draw from for the AMA question. So if you're an 11 o'clock hour listener, and you want to be a part of the AMA coming up at the end of the show, ask your question now.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
So we'll get to that at the end of the show. Just letting people know that's going to happen when we get there. All right, College Football Corner, the Wendy Zone, 15 minutes away from right now. The big football game this weekend, of course, Alabama and LSU. We had a chance to talk to Eli Gold about the game earlier on in the show. You said something, Randy, in the last segment about the Falcons, which I think applies to LSU this weekend. If not now, when?
Yeah.
If you're not going to beat Alabama this year, because you know how long it's been since LSU beat Alabama?
In 8 years, right?
It was the 9-6 game.
Yeah.
The 9-6 game was the last time they beat them. And last year, Alabama and LSU played in a very similar situation to where they're playing in right now. This year, what? It's number two versus number three?
Yeah.
Last year, it was number one versus number three.
Yeah.
This year, they're dubbing it the game of the century.
I wish they would stop doing that.
Last year, they called it the game of the century.
Yeah, stop doing
You know what happened last year?
Alabama smacked them.
29-0.
Yeah.
So, this is the first time we've seen LSU's offense look like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow is a Heisman candidate. LSU is supposedly, I mean, we've seen it. They're one of the best teams in the country. A lot of people think they're the best team in the country. If not now, then when?
I mean, I'm with you right there. And you're at a point where you're loaded. You're playing excellent at the one position that seemed like it always held you back. And not necessarily saying Joe Burrow didn't have this ability to do this. He just wasn't allowed to do it. You know what I'm saying? They weren't allowed to open things up. Now you got it. They got some good players. I mean, we know LSU's always had athletes all over the field. It's always been about the philosophy and the approach in which they go about it. And we've talked about, you know, how guys like Nick Saban has, you know, evolved as far as his offense. You saw, and his defense, because John Chuckery talks about it all the time, where you don't see the Mount Codys anymore and those big old guys.
Yep.
You know, you got faster guys. Sooner or later, you know, Kirby will eventually get to that point where he wants to evolve certain things. The biggest thing with LSU is, and we talked about it earlier, is that Ed Orgeron has stayed out the way. He's let Brady and those guys call plays, put this offense in, and stick with it. Now, again, they haven't had any adversity where he would want to change his mind. Like, I don't know about that. We just need to, you know, he hasn't had that moment. If he has that moment in this game, what does he do? And that's my biggest thing.
I hope you stick with what got you there, right? I mean, you're the number two team in the country for a reason this year. And granted, you were the number three team in the country last year when you guys got together, but you lost 29-0. I mean, that would be concerning to me. Like, if – and at what point of the game would you do it? You go down 21-7 at halftime or something?
Then you got to – I'm supposed to think you still got to throw the ball?
Well, you'd have to.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? Like, what would cause Ed Orgeron to abandon ship?
I'm not saying he's going to do it.
Okay.
I don't think he would do it because, I mean, Coach – he's a smart enough coach to see what's been working. So stick with what's been working and don't get – because that's the one thing when you play against an opponent that you've never beaten. Not saying never beaten, but it's, you know, got a long losing streak too. You get tight a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, Orgeron's never beaten them.
You know, true.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you know, when that happens like in a game and it's getting away from you, you start getting tight. Or, you know, say for instance, Alabama gets up 10-0 and you start thinking in the back of my mind, here we go again. That's when these type of games go towards the guys who have the win streak because the other guys like that.
Yeah. Right.
Here we go again.
The boogeyman.
Yeah.
The boogeyman is Alabama, and it's not just for LSU. I mean, it's for Georgia, too. It's for a lot of teams. I mean, Alabama's been ridiculously good for the last however many years. So, I mean, that's just the reality of it. And, I mean, obviously, Alabama beats all of these teams by and large because they're more talented
right.
and better coached.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are times in games like that, too, where, like you were saying, like, you're pretty – I think these teams are pretty equally talented.
Yeah.
Right? And they have the same record, and I know it's in Tuscaloosa, which is an advantage for Alabama,
mm-hmm.
but there also comes a time in games like this where if you've never done it before and you've never beaten them,
mm-hmm.
and you remember, because a lot of these guys were on the team last year when they lost 29-0, that memory starts to come into your mind.
It does.
I almost hope that LSU can exercise the demon this year, because that makes me feel more positive about Georgia being able to do it as well. Now, granted, if LSU beat Alabama in this game, then Georgia probably wouldn't play Alabama this year. I understand that. But, I mean, somebody's got to do it besides Clemson. Somebody's got to start knocking Alabama off besides Clemson.
Like Dabo said, has anybody else beat Alabama? No. When's the last time they lost down there? Was it Johnny Manziel or was it when Ole Miss went there?
In Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, what's the last time they lost down there?
Yeah, I don't remember. Those were back-to-back years, weren't they? I don't remember which year it was. 13?
It might have been. I know they got
14?
I mean, yeah, so.
I don't remember.
We'll see. I mean, again, they got the perfect recipe to compete with Alabama. They're getting better on defense. Now, they did lose their best pass rusher, or can you say the pass rusher with the most sacks. But they still got a great secondary back there, and I mean it's gonna be interesting, man. I mean, my thing is, what happens to Tua? We talk about his health, you know, when that junk's around his legs. You know what I'm saying? That's the biggest thing. How does he react to that? I still think, you know, Joe Burrow, I think they're gonna play well. And the thing with Alabama is you got to disrupt those receivers, man, because you don't. You give Jerry Jeudy and them boys space, man. They can take a 5-yard slant, 90 yards, every single time.
And you got to hope that Tua Tagovailoa makes a mistake. Because if those guys get the ball in their hands and you don't get them on the ground, like you said, they've got four playmakers in that offense.
2015 Ole Miss.
It's 2015.
Thank
okay.
You.
I'm going to save my Tua Joe Burrow's question for tomorrow.
Okay.
Because we still have plenty of time to talk about this game tomorrow. I do want to get to some Georgia news before we hear from Kirby Smart. They've announced another big non-conference opponent, another home-and-home against Ohio State.
Yep, 20.
Now, 30, it won't be till 2030.
2030-31.
2031. So it'll be a while.
Will Ryan Day and Kirby still be the coaches?
Who's more likely to still be the coach? I would say Kirby's probably more likely.
My thing is, like, will they still be talking about Justin Fields and Jake Fromm? I mean, it's a long time away, man. That's a long time away. And I had this the note pulled up, and I lost it about, like, Georgia's got some sticks coming up, man.
I know.
You got Texas, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Georgia's non-conference schedule starting next year, but it really ramps up in, like, 2023, 2024. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, in these years, in 2030 – they're going to play Oklahoma and Ohio State in the conference.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay. Sign me up for that.
Yeah, we'll still be together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I have three more years after that.
Is this like a prison sentence?
No, I'm just saying. You know, yeah, we'll be around.
We'll still be here.
We'll still be here.
The T-shirt shop will not be up yet on the beach.
Yes, it'll still be on hold.
We'll be hanging out. All right, let's hear some of what Kirby had to say about the game this weekend. Kirby's a smart guy. He won't even say Missouri's tight end's name either.
We've had some tight ends have good performances against us, so they'll have some good things to look at, and he's a good player. I mean, I think back to last year, he was probably the toughest matchup I thought we had last year. It just seems like he stuck out more in that game.
Yeah, Albert O, tight end for Mizzou.
He's a good player, man.
He's a very good player.
Roundtree's an underrated running back, too, and, I mean, they got some dudes over there. The one thing is that he's absolutely right. I know Albert O and the tight end coach are like, oh, yeah, we about to get busy.
Right, and you've seen it.
And then the second half, you won't catch a ball.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah. So
get all your numbers in the first half.
Get them in the first half.
Kelly Bryant going to play?
I don't know. Yesterday said it was questionable with the hammy, so.
75% yes.
That's what
it
said.
We'll see. I bet he'll play.
Yeah, he's going to play. Join 929 The Game and myself, and we'll be at the Wing Cafe and Tap House in Marietta this Saturday from 5 to 7. Come grab you a beer, watch some college football, and register to win two tickets to the Peach Bowl. It's courtesy of Dos Equis. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly.
Maybe your guy Willie P can come by. Or maybe both Willie P's.
Wait, both of them come on. Y'all come on over to Marietta. I'll be up in there.
Can we introduce Willie P from 92.9 The Game to Willie P, the listener?
That would be something, man. But yeah, come on
when
through, man.
Worlds
that place is good.
Collide.
They got this, Andy, they got like 100 wing flavors in joint, man. I had like some bacon infused wings last time.
Oh, that sounds so
good. Oh, they were so good.
That sounds so
good.
Oh,
they were awesome.
Speaking of, well, that sounds like something Wendy would talk about in the Wendy Zone, bacon-infused wings or whatever. Wendy Adams going to be in studio with us coming up next with the Wendy Zone right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday, 20 minutes away from the most important audio in the entire universe. According to us. We'll get to that top of the noon hour. Lots of stuff to get back into. Randy was up at Flowery Branch yesterday in the media scrum talking to Matt Ryan.
I was not no scrum, okay?
You were outside
part of the media
scrum.
Yes.
The media scrum was here.
Yes.
You were there too, right? Yep. And Randy was over there near it. And I was there too. We were all there in the media scrum.
I was not in the media scrum.
But Randy was just near it. He was in the proximity of the media scrum. We'll also hear from Lloyd Pierce as well. But it's time for the Wendy Zone. Hi, Wendy.
How's it going, guys? Go ahead, Randy.
Real quick, it's always funny whenever, because I come in, I sit the same seat Hugh sits in, Mike sits in the same seat. The stuff that Hugh leaves up on the computer, it just amazes me.
Do we need to know?
About this emoji thing.
Oh.
And they're going to limit sexual emojis.
So what Randy's talking about and what Hugh was talking about this morning on John and Hugh in his Hugh's World segment was the fact that they're going to get rid of the eggplant emoji and the peach emoji. Because of what they symbolize and how people use them.
What if you
I thought it was just for Instagram. I didn't know they were going to get rid of it completely.
What if you like peaches? I'm a peach county. What if I want to put
no
the peach in the county?
What if you, I mean, we live in Georgia.
Yeah.
The Georgia
how can
peach.
They take away the peach from us? Maybe all the other 49 states, although technically South Carolina, I think, produces more peaches.
They do.
But the peaches in Georgia are better.
Yes.
How can every other state maybe should have to lose the peach emoji,
sure.
But not us?
Yeah, we can't lose it here.
This is we're the peach state for God's sake.
I'm from Peach County.
You're from Peach County.
And how often do you guys use Peach State in one of your tweets?
All the time.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Literally never.
I made eggplant casserole the other day.
Did you use the emoji for that for your eggplant meal? Sure didn't.
Have you
exactly.
ever?
Exactly. This is why they are wanting to get rid of it.
Go ahead,
it's on Instagram. It's on Facebook.
Have you ever
like
used the eggplant emoji to actually talk about
a dish that you were
vegetable?
Making?
Never.
Have you used the eggplant emoji otherwise?
I did before because I was telling my wife, you know, that.
Okay, well, yeah, that's great.
I'm making a casserole.
Wait, so you used it to actually talk about the vegetable?
Wendy, what you got, Ma?
Yep, no, we don't need to know the rest of that. Let's Andy, go. Sometimes there's too many questions and we don't need it. We
Wendy,
don't need to follow
Wendy,
up.
Wendy, go. Go, Wendy.
Journalist.
Go, Wendy. Go, Wendy.
What were you trying to convey?
Go ahead, Wendy.
Oh, boy.
What you got?
Well, before we started down that slippery slope, Paul Crane was talking about how Baker Mayfield shaved off his handlebars on his mustache, but I wanted to give Andy some love because he's also participating in Movember, and he's growing a stash, and we put the link at 929 The Game on our Twitter page to how you can donate to your page.
What do you think of it, by the way? Honest.
Your stash is different. The mustache is always a different look for me.
Come on. We can be honest with
each
other.
You're raggedy, dog.
We're family
well, my thing
here.
Is you just had the baby face yesterday. Your joint go back fast.
It looks better today because you don't have the Patagonia jacket on.
Yeah, that's what everybody said. I had like a light blue Patagonia fleece on yesterday.
You're going for a hike.
Yeah, Oren said it looked like I was going to go hide in the woods and spy on some kids, which I would never do. I would never spy on kids. I'm not a pervert. I'm not. I promise. Even though the mustache tells a different story.
How does your wife Ashley like it?
She hates it. I already told you. Yeah. It's not just Movember. It's no sugar November
no
for
sugar.
Me.
No sugar. What is
but
it at today? Least you're raising money for
the
a good
seventh?
Cause.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well,
I don't know what he's donated any money yet.
Well, Randy has to donate because he's not growing the stash. Yes. He said he would make a donation so he can donate to your page.
Why can't Brian grow a mustache? He's already got one. Just shave everything else off. Brian, be in solidarity with me. Nope. Okay.
Oh, boy.
I'll be
all right.
The sole pervert.
We'll talk a little bit about sports because the 2020 NCAA Men's Final Four, it will be here in Atlanta next year. And they have this music festival. It's a 3-day free music series. And they just announced who will be performing on their final day. It's Jam Fest, which will be the final day on April the 5th. Taylor Swift is going to be the headliner on that Sunday.
Taylor Swift having a free concert?
A free concert, which means Sunday is going to be packed in Atlanta on April the 5th.
Wow.
So, that's if you're crazy. Going to the tournament on that Sunday,
it's
I would get
so
there
excited.
Early. I'm excited about it. Yeah. And they're going to start rolling out more artists as it gets closer in the coming months.
Where are they going to perform? Are they, is it going to be in the arena or is it going to be
Centennial Park?
Centennial Park. Okay,
yes.
Okay, cool.
They did that for the Super Bowl. A lot of acts, you could go down and see them for free, but it's just so many people down there.
So many.
You have to get down there like the day before.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It's
going to
be a lot
so
of folks.
There's
going to
be
there.
A lot of folks down there. Well, one of my favorite 90s movies, it's probably y'all's favorite sports dramedy as well. I don't know how to say it. Sports, I don't know. Yeah, sports dramedy. We'll call it
that.
The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
The Mighty Ducks is getting a reboot.
Goldberg!
So apparently, a report from Discussing Film, there's going to be a reboot series now planning to launch on Disney's upcoming streaming service, Disney Plus. So instead of a movie,
Why?
It's going to be a series.
They're going to do a TV show about it?
Come on, man.
But what if they got the original cast back?
They could be the parents of another hockey team.
They showed a picture of all of them. I'm like, what was it? Remember Goldberg was in Locked Up or something.
Goldberg got skinny.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy for his health, but come on.
When he peeping this window or something.
Well, maybe Emilio.
Goldberg did some.
Was he?
I think Goldberg did some, yeah.
I thought that was one of the Sandlot guys.
Was it?
One of the Sandlot guys is dead, unfortunately.
Goldberg, yeah, okay.
Goldberg was a pervert?
I don't know. Brian just told me something. I don't know.
Well, maybe Joshua Jackson's character can be the new coach, and then Emilio Estevez can be the old man
Charlie Conway was great in
the movie.
Charlie was so corny.
What?
Couldn't stand Charlie.
What's wrong with Charlie?
Oh, Charlie was such a suck up.
You make your
him,
case.
Him and his mom.
No, Adam was a suck up. The cake eater.
No, the cake
Charlie wasn't
no.
a suck up.
Charlie was such
Charlie
a suck up.
Charlie quit the team. He was going to move to Canada and play juniors.
Oh, whatever. Charlie, oh.
You,
oh, yeah, coach. Anything for
Charlie
you and the team.
Charlie Conway, man, please, slander.
Please.
Whatever. On this show.
Charlie was soft.
Charlie was the man.
Charlie was soft. Then did you see the other one when they went to the school? Let's do it the duck way. Shut up, Charlie.
He just wanted tradition. You're anti-tradition?
No, dude. Y'all are in a preparatory school. That's how they do it. But we're the Ducks.
You know what happened?
Shut up, Charlie.
You know what happened when they went back to being the Ducks is when they beat the varsity finally.
Whatever. No, they beat the varsity because they picked up all the garbage.
Oh, yeah. Goldberg was arrested.
That is one of the drills they did. We threw the garbage on the ice and they had to scoop it up with their sticks.
Yeah.
Well, you and I, if you didn't know, care a little bit about the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, I love the movie.
They'll care a lot.
I love the Mighty Ducks. I just think Charlie was soft.
Well, that's what the Bash Brothers
were for. The only reason he got his way because Coach was feeling his mom. Charlie wasn't good.
Charlie was good.
No, that, but the triple deke. Man.
That was Gordon Bombay's move, and then Charlie learned it.
Yeah.
And he scored a goal in overtime.
Whatever.
Scored the goal in the Pan Am games or whatever they were. They beat the varsity.
The spoiled kid was the best one.
Adam Banks, cake eater.
Yeah. He was my favorite.
Banks was the best one.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was awesome.
I like Benny the Jet. No, that's from Sandlot. But what was he in Mighty Ducks when he was fast on the skates?
Oh, yeah.
Luis Gonzalez.
He couldn't stop.
He couldn't stop? God, that was so funny. All right.
That's fun.
I'll call that a solid Wendy sound today. We got fired up over the Mighty Ducks.
Sure did.
We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the entire universe. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.